Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello everyone and welcome to a special edition of the Spanish Football Podcast. I'm Phil Kitramelides and I'm not joined by Sid Lowe, as usual. He's normally here, but he's not today. Instead, I'm joined by someone who's got a far better grasp of basic arithmetic than Sid does, although that's not too difficult. Ben Harburg, the co-owner of Cadiff, is with us. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Phil.
Thanks very much for speaking to us.
Thanks for having me.
We're here outside on the terrace of a hotel in central Madrid, so if you can hear some background noise, it's because we're on the terrace of a hotel in central Madrid. We've tried to find the quietest corner to have this chat with Ben. It's been something we've been trying to do for a while, and it's good that we finally managed to do it. The day before Cadiff play at the Estadio Santiago Bernabeu against Real Madrid, Ben. It's a big one.
It's a big one.
It's a big one for Cadiff as perhaps more than Real Madrid, because Cadiff are battling against relegation. We'll get into the details of that game and Cadiff's season in just a moment, but I want to give the listeners a little bit of background. So you are American, Ben.
That's right.
But you are the co-owner of a small club in the south of Spain. How did that come about?
A mighty club in the south of Spain. As a boy, I lived in Cadiz, or just outside of it, a place called Puerto de Santa Maria, for a couple years. The club at that time was in the third division, but I went to several of the matches, and several years later, when I had a little bit of money and was able to actually take a crack at this sport, I ran a process during COVID, actually, to look at almost every club in the first three tiers of Spanish football,
right,
and kind of compare them on a value for dollar basis and legalities and size of the city and everything. And at the end of that process, I kind of found that the best value for dollar was, lo and behold, my hometown club. And so I pitched to them, actually. It wasn't for sale. It was not on the block, but I pitched that I could become part of the ownership group and the value that I might be able to add. And they were kind enough to accept me in.
So it wasn't all the heart based decision. There were some numbers behind it as well.
No, we definitely have to be sustainable, and we're one of the only, I think, three profitable clubs in La Liga this season, which is crazy to think about. So it has to be sustainable, and tried to make it a systematic approach. But yeah, there's a lot of emotion here.
Okay. Your day to day, obviously you work in venture capitalism, wealth management. Cadiz as a place, it's a chaotic, crumbling, beautiful city, which we really love, but it's not somewhere that necessarily screams venture capitalism, wealth management. How difficult is it to sort of reconcile the two worlds for you?
Not hard at all, actually. Surprisingly, we've been able to use Cadiz as a vehicle to connect technology companies to football, to utilize the experience we have on social media to kind of bring Cadiz to a wider audience. And today we're actually probably one of the most globalized clubs across all of La Liga. So for instance, about 85% of our social media followers, and today we cracked 13 million, which
nice.
Is no small feat across all channels.
Yeah.
85% of them come from outside of Spain. And we have today, you know, the sixth highest Twitter following amongst all La Liga clubs in the Arabic world and among the Arabic speaking Twitter accounts. We have a huge following in Southeast Asia and South America. And so it's been fun to connect it.
That's been down to you, presumably.
A lot on me. And again, that was my pitch to the club was, you know, we've kind of hit a saturation level in Cadiz and surrounding areas in terms of the amount of new fans we could bring on board and the amount of new revenue from sponsorship or other corporate tie-ups we could bring in. And of course, there are five clubs across La Liga in Andalucía to begin with. So we had to look outward, and Cadiz always was kind of a launching point for going global. It's where one of the Cristobal Colón's ships sailed from to the New World, and
that's true.
And
yeah.
we use it as such. So it is a vehicle, and we are today ambassadors to bring Cadiz to the world and to try to drive revenue and eyeballs and clicks and likes from outside of Spain as well.
You're American. A lot of our listeners are American as well. How difficult is it coming from an American perspective on sports, and finding a different view on things in European football?
Well, I think, again, when you come from American sports to La Liga or to European football, you think on this relegation topic, and
yes.
you say, how can American sports not have this? Because this just infuses every competition, every goal,
yes.
every card with that much more meaning.
Yeah.
And you know, and you see today the stadiums of the United States, bottom tier baseball clubs like the Oakland A's or the New York Mets or whatever, you go, the stadium looks empty.
Yeah.
You know, it's an empty 45,000-50,000 person stadium, and yet clubs that are struggling for relegation in La Liga are packed, and that's because every game matters. And so and I feel that there's a connection between fans and their clubs that supersedes anything I see in the West. I mean, people bleed for their crest and in a way that they simply do not, because they take for granted that next season the club is going to still be there in the MLB or NBA. And so I see so much more passion, so much more energy. So on that side, the competitive side and the fan side, far superior in Europe. On the business side, the technology integration side, not
Aha.
so much.
Yes. Work to be done there.
Right.
Maybe if I'd asked you this question at the start of the season rather than now, when Cadiz are 5 points from safety with five games to go, the answer would have been different. I don't know. What's the long-term vision for Cadiz?
When I came on board, I clearly stated the objective was to cement ourselves in La Liga and maybe one day aspire to something even greater, to you know, finish amongst the top seven spots and play an official match outside of Cadiz, let's say, outside of Spain. And that vision hasn't changed. We have been able to, you know, we've been up for 4 years, which is not a short period of time in our history. It's the second longest stretch. Over that period, we also made it to the semifinals of the Copa del Rey. We've had some marquee victories against the likes of Real Madrid, Barcelona, inclusive with Messi on the field, several times against Atletico de Madrid, Villarreal. So we've had our high moments, but that dream of cementing ourselves in La Liga has been challenged this year for sure.
It has. Going on to sort of specifics of what it's like to be financially as well as emotionally invested in a club. I was talking to you before we started recording about Cadiz game last weekend, which was against Mallorca, which was a really, really must-win game for Cadiz, which they did not win. They only managed to draw. And you said it's difficult for you to watch these kind of games.
It is. I mean, I watched that Moneyball movie with Billy Bean, and you know, he always goes into the gym
yes.
or runs away when the game is being played, and I'm doing the exact same thing. It is painful at this way. It's ruined football for me in many ways. You
yeah,
can't
right.
watch it.
Yes. It's not fun anymore.
It is not. And the craziest, when you watch it in person, like we will tomorrow, and you have to sit next to Florentino and the other owners in
yes.
the instance of Madrid or whoever else you're playing against. And even if you do well, you can't celebrate.
Yeah.
And so in that way, since it ruins it as well, you have to just kind of sit there stoically for 90 minutes
so
of
hold
pain.
On. If there's a 94th minute winner tomorrow for Cadiz in the Bernabeu, you're just going to sit there and just go, yes.
Custom would dictate that I
yeah,
not
right.
stand up and shake my fists.
So you're not allowed to, can you applaud? What's the protocol? Is there a protocol?
You basically don't move.
You basically
Statue.
Don't move. Man.
Statue.
That's not that fun. yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see whether or not, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Right?
Luxury problems,
yes.
my friend.
Yes. Let's see. So the season hasn't gone according to plan as Cadiz would have liked. I mean, just on a basic point, it's lack of goals, right? Bottom scorers in the division, and not for a want of strikers, because you've got loads of strikers, but they haven't been able to score the goals that you need.
Yeah, it's been a challenge for us all these seasons. We're pretty good at keeping goals out.
Yeah.
It's not easy to put up goals against us. But the goals have been very few and far between. When we get them, usually they are coming in a point-getting opportunity. So they're usually attached to points. We're
yes.
not throwing away goals in the midst of a blowout loss or something like that. So every goal is like gold for us. But they have not come, and we've not been able to find that consistent striker that can put up double-digit goals for us in the last 4 years.
It's been tough for Cadiz, but, you know, hope springs eternal. So 5 points from safety, five games to go. You never know. It's not over until it's over. Just going back to a sort of overview of how you view Spanish football. If you were in charge of La Liga, what would you change? What would you implement?
Well, the frustration obviously is I think we have the best product on the field, and you see it in the kind of the final stages of the Champions League now. But it's not just Real Madrid. I mean, Atletico, we've got great talent in Bilbao. We've got great talent, and obviously San Sebastian and Barcelona. So, you know, we have, I believe, the best product on the field, but we've not been able to monetize it and get it kind of the global visibility that it deserves.
I like how you're saying we, Ben. You're one of us. You're one of the Spanish football crew.
We're in this. I mean, we're all in this together. So we all got to pull the weight together. But, but we need more revenue. We need more visibility, and it's not been there for us.
Not yet, but maybe it's a work in progress. Maybe we're getting there.
It's improving. I mean, for instance, going from BeIN America to ESPN Plus America is a huge step.
Right?
But even that, I mean, I want to be able to walk into a bar in Manhattan and see Cardiff playing on the TV on ABC or NBC or one of these, you know, essentially free access channels. So we still got a few legs to go.
I mean, how far away are we from something like that happening?
I don't know. I mean,
is that down to La Liga, or is that down to the growth of the sport in the U.S.?
I think it's down to La Liga, because the other leagues have been able to achieve that, and the Premier League, thanks to some of these documentary series and just some of the, you know, obviously being in English, and some of the American players that have gone there, Pulisic and others that were able to kind of expose American fans to that league. We haven't had the same level of ambassadorship from America to Spain to date.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You said you have a big, increasing global fan base in Southeast Asia, South America. It's coming. We've got lots of listeners to this podcast who sort of attach themselves to a Spanish club, and on the podcast we've spoken very favourably about Cádiz in the past, because it's a place that is quite close to our hearts. Sid goes there almost every summer for his summer holidays. It has a, I'd say, almost unique charm about a place. Sort of geographically, it's a uniquely situated city on the sort of jutting out almost like an island at the edge of the peninsula. It's a special place. So we've spoken about it. How would you try and sell it to listeners who, maybe someone's looking for a Spanish club, they want to follow someone, and it's your time to sell Cádiz to someone who's looking for a Spanish club?
Well, I first put out a plug that there will be a documentary coming out very soon that will shed some light on this, and I won't give away any further spoilers.
Ooh,
on it.
TSFP exclusive.
But there will be a way that you can look and see and feel a little bit of it. But it comes down to, first, the people. I mean, we have the most fun, happy fans in La Liga. Cádiz is a city that thrives on humor. We have, the most prominent carnival in the country, which is a very different carnival than you see in Brazil, where people,
yes,
are kind of dancing in relative limited amounts of clothing. This is about songs and making fun of the establishment and dressing in really crazy ways. So there's that culture of humor that is infused into everything we do, and the fans take everything on the nose, and it's a really fun place. We have more sunshine than almost anywhere else in Europe, and certainly in Ecuador, to where people are maybe coming from that are fans of your podcast.
Yeah. That's important.
Amazing food. And again, it's a club that we have no enemies. We don't have a derby kind of enemy. And so it's a club that a lot of people feel sympathy around the La Liga for. But when you come there, you just feel it. The food, the weather, the people, just this combination of everything. And again, you've got I think we have the most passionate fans across all of La Liga on kind of a per capita basis, let's say. We've never won anything. Our highest finish in La Liga ever was 12th. We've never played European football. Our trophy case is empty, save for our own preseason tournament trophies. And yet, Last season, we had the highest home capacity of the entire league, 93% full stadium every game. This season, I think we're second only to Real Madrid. Our fans asked for the highest number of away ticket allocations this season from La Liga. So there's just this huge fervor and passion of the fans, and you'll feel it when you're in the stands with them. So, and then on top of all that, we've had our kind of underdog mentality for the last few years. We've kind of been this David versus Goliath, one of the lowest payrolls, but beating Real Madrid away, Barcelona away, Atletico de Madrid. And so when you get those kind of victories with such a small club, it makes everything all the more fun. And so it is, if you are a fan of the little guy taking over the big guy, we're your team.
Good job, Ben. You sold that to me. I'm sure you sold it to some of the listeners as well. And to be honest, I second everything that Ben says. He's not wrong. You're quite active on social media, and you're quite active in a way that maybe other co-owners or people involved with clubs aren't. Why are you so active? Why is that so important for you?
So I'm new to social media, and actually prior to this whole Cuddy thing, I don't think I ever even really tweeted much.
And
if I did, it was something wonky about, you know, geopolitics or something that no one's interested in. I kind of looked around La Liga and I saw a lot of, you know, football, and I realized that owners were people kind of sitting in a box far removed from the fans, wearing a suit, not the team colors, and were largely inaccessible to fan bases.
I can confirm that Ben is not wearing a suit and is wearing his team colors.
So I wanted to try to become an owner that was much more accessible to fans, one that interacted with them on social media, one that made them feel like they had more of a seat at the table. I think that, and I would love in the future to find a way to include fans on our cap table as investors and owners of the club, and I think that ends up working very well and has worked well across multiple sports. I want to find a way to have fans have more of a seat at the table when it comes to picking, you know, new uniforms, how we put together, you know, the infrastructure of the club. I really want them to have that voice. So my objective was kind of to be that channel between that stodgy old world of football and the next generation of fans who want to have huge involvement with their clubs and with the ownership. And, you know, I'm only a tiny percentage way there, but that was the objective, to be kind of a next generation owner that brought the club more to fans and was engaging with them on their level.
How difficult is it when you get abuse on social media? We all get abuse on social media, but you're someone who's working really hard to try and do your best for the club. You've put your own money into this. You're doing a lot of stuff to try and make things work. And when they don't work, you get this abuse. So how difficult is that?
Well, I started as a fan, and I know what it's like to be a fan. And so when they're frustrated, they have to direct their anger somewhere. And rarely do they want to direct it at the players. And that really only leaves one target. And that's okay. And so you have to be a big boy. And if you're going to get into ownership, you have to acknowledge that that's going to come your way. And if you're not ready for it, you're in the wrong business. The objective is just to not, you know, let them vent. Try not to get too engaged, and so I've never gotten in any kind of back and forth Twitter battles with anyone, and I kind of let them say their piece and vent, and I get it. They want the best for this club. They show up in droves. They pay their hard earned money to come to our and fill our stadium every week. They pay their money for jerseys. They are fully entitled to respectfully sharing their views and their frustration, and they deserve better. The thing that pains me the most about our performance this season and the other ones where we've been on the relegation line as well is not my own capital that's at risk, not the fact that maybe next season or another I don't get to, you know, go to all the big name clubs to watch our team play. It's our fans. It's the pain I see on their faces and in their social media when they're coming to, you know, trying to get themselves excited for the game, and that we don't score a goal, we concede what looks like going to be a victory into a, you know, a tie in the 95th minute. The pain that they feel is immeasurable, and it impacts me, so it brings me down. But that's it. I don't care about myself. I don't care about my money. I care about them. And so it's like letting down your family, down people that you care deeply about. And they open their hearts to me as well. And I love spending time with them in Cadiz and on the road when they're out with us. But that's the biggest, whenever we're playing poorly, that's the thing that hits me the most.
Okay. Yeah. Social media can be a rough place. You have to take the rough with the smooth. What about your feelings towards Getafe? He's tweeted a few times about Getafe.
I had, I was really enjoying, and I stand by everything I've said about Getafe, and everything I've said has been echoed by every team that they play, the script writes itself. I literally stopped tweeting about them because, you know, when I was talking about everything I was hitting them on, be it, you know, the way that they treated women and fans and the players that they brought on board and the way, you know, whatever, and everything that keep, you know, they changed the name of their stadium this year because of similar things. They've been, their fans were, I think removed from some of the stands because of racism. So they write the script themselves. But I haven't had a lot of legs to stand on against them because we were unable to beat them in spite of them, us being up a man earlier in the season. We've got one chance for redemption next weekend. Right, next weekend. So it's a pretty important one for me on that front. But I unfortunately don't have as much firepower as I did because we're not backing it up on the field.
Yeah, I mean, you say Cadiz don't have any enemies, but for you personally, that game against Getafe is a bit of a derby for you.
Absolutely. And we've been public about that. This is not some secret thing, but they definitely are on my bad list.
Okay, well, let's see how you get on against them. Listen, it's been great to talk. Thanks very much, Ben. Best of luck in the game against Real Madrid tomorrow. Best of luck for the rest of the season. And it's no secret that here on the podcast we kind of want Cadiz to do well. We've spoken about them at length, about what a great place it is, and you're right, it's about the people there. It's about the people. The people make Cadiz, and hopefully the people will be happy come the end of the season. So Ben, thanks very much for speaking to us, and we'll speak again soon.
Thanks for having me.